your treasure. Did you get that wind chime thing from your like house, or was that like a keyboard synth?
My brother made a key chime.
Yeah, made out of keys that are in the tone.
He spent hours. He went to garage sales all over Topeka and found old boxes of keys, and he spent hours clinking them on each other to find out which tones were right, and he went down tone by tone, and there's probably like 50 on there, like ding 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 ding. Just ding, 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 ding.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're not even making that up.
We have out of our house. It's, they're all tied to little fishing wire. On
We used it on our previous album too, the, one of the songs, and we had it go from left to right, and stereo.
That's the kind of cutting feedback that we're looking for.
It's
right here in this show. From the Billions, welcome. This is the podcast with the Billions, and my name is Richard. I'm here with Sam Billen and Simon. Simon Bates from the Billions. They're from Lawrence. And they just put a record called Trash and Treasure, with his, which is, what, their fourth record, I think?
Yeah.
You can say that.
Yeah.
Probably our second with Northern.
Okay. And the last one was a solo record from Sam. It was called Miracles. And it's been maybe a year and a half since that one came out.
Yeah.
And you guys are probably one of the most consistent bands around Lawrence as far as putting out records, playing shows. I would say respect. Much respect in that fashion. And we brought you in today just so we could ask all of the, you know, tough questions that people want to know. And why don't we get started? But first, let's just rock out to the record just for a second. So the record is called Trash and Treasure. What is the trash and what is the treasure?
I think my brother Dan, the bass player, kind of came up with the idea. We didn't want it at first, right?
Yeah.
We all hated it.
No, I actually liked it right away. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think I thought it was a little cheesy. He had thought of the layout for the album as all of us, something like on a pile of trash, right? Wasn't it like this? Like on a big pile of trash, just sitting there in like king's outfits with little crowns on our heads and stuff. And that one didn't work out.
Somehow when it gets to the artistic design process, things just never quite work out like the design. Yeah. You know. It looks pretty good nonetheless, though. Is there any significance between these kids behind these kids on the beach? Here?
I think you remember Jason Barr and my brother Dan. They used to make collages a lot.
Cool.
And I think that's just a collage from some old textbooks.
Okay.
Dan had.
So is there, I don't know, is there some deeper meaning behind Trash and Treasure?
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of, it's interesting because I think the idea actually first came about with, we have a whole bunch of old vintage t-shirts and hats and all kinds of, what you might call junk, but to some people, treasure. And I think that's kind of where the name originated from, because, you know, some people could find, you know, another person's junk is some man's treasure or whatever. Yeah.
Just to clarify for the listeners, the Billions merchandise rack is like none other. It's unreal collection of buttons, t-shirts, and all very affordable. $5 for t-shirts, $1 for buttons.
Do you know how it started?
No.
We ran out of merchandise. We were on a tour a couple of years ago, and we ran out of merch like halfway through, and we had nothing to do. We weren't getting paid for these shows, you know, and so we stopped in a Quaker town, a little Quaker town, on the way to one of our shows. I think it was in Pennsylvania, and we found like 30, it was just a jackpot, you know, we found like 30 or 40 awesome vintage t-shirts, but none of them fit us. You know, we found a few that fit us, but there was the majority didn't fit us, and so we ended up just buying them anyways. We were like, we might as well just try to sell them at our show, you know, make some gas money. So we got them, and we sold out like that night right away. So between every show, we started buying them, and now it's just a hit.
Excellent. You keeping it up? You're still doing it these days.
Yeah.
Something you can count on when you go to a Billions show.
Just keeps piling up.
Mainly
cool.
Dan.
Right on. So you guys have had a very like strong dream, I think, since you started this band. Like, you know, you've done the touring, you've put out records. I got the impression that you guys were really trying to make this thing work. How's the dream doing? Is the dream still alive?
Oh, man.
The dream of continuing to make good music is still alive.
Yeah.
Alive and well. But the dream of going forever, trying to live rock and roll lifestyle, touring and everything is basically dead.
You work at a bank.
I work at a bank, yeah.
Yeah.
My brother's basically a nurse, and he has a child.
And you're married.
And I'm married, yeah. And Ken, the drummer, he's engaged now, too, so.
Simon.
I'm still going full throttle.
He's going.
Trying to live the rock and roll dream.
Bachelor.
Yeah.
Bachelor till the rock.
Seriously, though, I mean, how have all these things affected the Billions?
Pretty strongly. I mean, we don't have too much time to practice or anything. Everything that has happened recently, like marriage and having kids and jobs and school, really makes our schedules not match up at all, you know, and so we don't have any time to practice really or get together. The only time we really get together is just to play shows usually. Mm-hmm.
But that makes it so, you know, it's great when we can do that.
Yeah.
We all come back to that same point and all have the common bond of our mm-hmm. music, you know.
But it's not like you guys are old farts. I mean, Sam, you're 23.
24.
Yeah. I mean, relatively young guys.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you fell in love mm-hmm. and
happened.
Got married.
Happened.
But, what are your goals for, you know, after this?
I'm just really happy with what we're doing right now. I mean, I just love, you know, creating this music, and we all do, you know, just so we can have it to hold on to, you know, and
sure,
friends, yeah. Family, kids, you know, whoever, you know.
Well, let's talk about the music. Let's live in the now.
Okay.
And deal with this one step at a time. I have, like, sort of a collection of questions about the Billions that I've had circulating in my head since I met you. And one thing that's always been there is the Christian band or not Christian band mm-hmm. thing. It seems like on each of your albums there's at least one or two things that are pretty obvious giveaways that you guys do believe in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this applies to Simon or not.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, for instance, there's one song on this record that says, you know, with Jesus as our anchor, we will stay strong.
Uh-huh.
Are you a Christian band?
Well, I think when you say Christian band, lots of people get scared immediately, but we definitely all are Christians in a band, in a rock and roll band, and our lyrics are always Christian, but we don't exactly, you know, we're not going for a Christian market or anything, and we're not like a praise band, you know, a contemporary Christian band,
right.
But, you know.
I'd say you could call us a Christian band.
How has this, if at all, affected your career path, you know, or the way you guys approach your music?
I don't know. I think a lot of people are immediately turned away from us once they hear we're Christian. You know, they put us into the stereotype that they have. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
band.
I think the heyday of Christian rock, you know, in quotes, kind of passed back in the 90s or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know. And most of it is, let's say, did not endure as good music. You know what I'm saying?
DC Talk.
Yeah, DC Talk or
one
whatever.
One of those guys is on our label.
Yeah,
now.
And it's not a big part of what you guys do. I mean, it's just, it's there like anything
else. It's
just
part
would
of
be.
Our life, yeah.
Yeah. Are you church-going guys?
My wife's an organist at our little Lutheran church in Lansing, Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I try to go. I bounce mm-hmm. around. I graduated from a Christian college, Manhattan Christian College in Manhattan, Kansas, so.
What is the everyday, what keeps you going, you know, to church?
Keeps us going
yeah.
to church?
Yeah.
Support for friends, you know, and just it's good to fellowship, to be around people that, you know, share common beliefs, you know, because a lot of your friends outside of church and stuff, you know, can, I don't know, it's just different. So it's good to be around people that share that, you know, the same beliefs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have
same hope.
Yeah, I have a ton of friends that aren't Christian, you know, and at the same time, it's just, I don't know, that there just seems to be a different moral standard, kind of, you know, and whether that's surface or not, you know, is up in the air. But at the same time, like when you go to like a Bible study or whatever, the ones that I've gone to, you know, I go to one on Friday nights with a group of international students, and I play guitar for it and stuff, and it just seems like, you know, everybody's there to be friends, you know, and there's nobody there with any bad intentions or whatever. So.
Okay. Cool. Your label, though, Northern, is it a Christian label?
You'd have to ask them.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, who knows?
There's, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say they're trying to be, I mean, most of the artists on there probably claim to be Christian. Like I said earlier, one of the guys from DC Talk is on the label now.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the Lassie Foundation is on the label too. And this guy's not in the band anymore, but one of the guys, I guess, like said he'd never be on a Christian label. He didn't want Christian stores to have their albums and stuff, and he was like super like anti-Christian.
There's a lot of really cool bands more on the fringe who deal at least partly with Christianity, you know, in their lyrics. Are there some that you guys are particularly fond of?
Sufjan.
Yeah, Sufjan Stevens.
Yeah. It's amazing. Not so much on the new record, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I think so. I don't know.
Maybe it's not so much on
it's
the surface.
It's kind of hidden in there.
Starfly 59 is one. Pedro the Lion.
Yeah.
Is that kind of, you know, somewhere you hope you could fit in with those names?
Yeah. I think we fit in with them. You know, we've met a lot of those bands. Like, well, we know a lot of the guys from Starflyer, just from, like, you know, they recorded the same studio we did in California.
Makes sense, yeah.
I'd say we do fit in among them, you know, not, like, popularity-wise, but just our music. We're not trying to sing about God and sell albums because of that, you know, like, we're not singing about Christianity in order to sell albums, you know, we're just trying to make music and we're singing about what happens to us.
Cool. So, you pretty much have divvied up the lyrical responsibilities at this point. The credits, you know, list Simon on 3, maybe, Sam on 3, 4, mm-hmm. Dan on the rest. So that could be a little frustrating, I would think. I mean, having to share, at least creatively, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm sure you guys write more than 3 songs a piece between albums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
You know? Like, is there a give and take there?
It was pretty hard to decide which songs we'd include. But at the same time, you know, we got together as a band and we voted on them. You know, we all know each other's songs. And we didn't even really try to have an equal amount of songs each, I think. You know, we just sat down and picked the best songs that we could. And that's what we came up with, so.
Hmm. Is it hard to give up, though? Like, tell me you wrote more than 3 songs between the last album and this one.
We did get in fights, coming out. Worked out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not that far apart, though, on the spectrum. I mean, somehow your voices fall somewhere into these are just billion songs.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way, you know?
Well, like with me, it's like I wrote 3 of the songs, and, you know, and they were my songs, but then Sam and Dan came along, and we all worked on together and added so much. And basically, in the end, it became a whole new song, you know, that, you know, couldn't have been that song without them, you know, so it ended up being a group process.
And this is the first time that we've ever actually really worked together to make it, because on all our albums before, you know, the songs that we would write, we would play almost every instrument on it and just totally control. Like, if I wrote a song, I would be the director of the whole thing. I would say, no, I don't want that there. But this time, we really, and I think my brother having a kid really has humbled him a bunch. And me, I learned a lot from him during this album too. Just, you know, getting in an argument and being the first to back down. You know, if you don't feel real strongly about something, just being like, yeah, it's fine then, okay. Because we have never done that before, as brothers especially. You know, we'll fight till death. But
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. But we've been working on that, and we're getting a lot better. So.
Okay, cool. Let me ask you about a couple lyrics that I was sort of drawn to. You guys both call out your wives by name on this record.
Dan and I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You write Yuka, you are my girl.
My girl.
Dan writes, Rosa dear, I love the way you make me smile. And your wife is named Yuka.
Yuka.
And Dan's wife is named
Rosa.
Rosa
Lee.
Do you think this is precedented in American rock and roll music? Do you see precedent for this? Or are you guys really going out on a limb here?
Oh,
define precedent.
Mentioning George one's loved Bush. One by name, specifically in a song.
Yeah, I'd
see,
say...
See, because since I'm such a pussy, when I write songs, I just, you know...
Her.
Jacqueline is Andrew Connor
that's
from
a,
Ghosty
that's
does,
thing.
You know,
it's,
or...
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just wondering, you know...
I think a lot of people do it. I think using a girl's name is really overdone, and I'm, like, almost ashamed that we did it, because so many people do it. There's the bands out there, like Ben Folds, five or whatever that have a girl's name in every one of their songs, you know, or a guy's name or whatever. And so we kind of don't really like it, my brother and I at least, but it just happened, you know.
It happens, yeah.
How does Yuka feel about it?
She's really embarrassed. She's, every time I play the song, she's like, because every time I play it, I'll look over at her, you know, and I make everybody look at her, so.
It's definitely a unique name for an American rock and roll song.
Yeah.
You do have that going for you.
Yeah.
Yuka. You met in Japan?
No, we met in McCollum 5 years ago. It's kind of like Japan.
See, now, you got to forgive me, because there is a song, and it's this one. It's called In Japan.
Yeah.
So, you know.
We've been to Japan 3 times together, okay. Though. So.
Is she originally from?
Yeah, she's from Tokyo.
Okay.
Tokyo.
Okay. So if you can't hear right now, we are listening to In Japan. Let's knock it back just for a second. One of my favorite songs on the record, and it has been since I saw you first play it the first time. Tell me a little bit about In Japan.
I like to experiment with songs, how I write them. Usually it'll be guitar, piano, I'll start with that, you know. Sometimes I'll write with bass first, but with this one, I did drums first. I just had a drum machine, you know, and I'd change it every once in a while. Then I added bass to it, and I just kind of built it as it went, you know, and I don't know, I think I wrote the words just with the music, how it sounded, you know, kind of happy-go-lucky and Asian.
And then you got those sweet synthesizer sounds. What is it? What's the traditional Asian instrument of choice?
Oh, shamisen.
Shamisen.
Or koto.
And did you use a real shamisen?
No. When I was over there last time, though, I wanted to buy one so bad, but they were like $300 or $400.
Probably pretty big, too. Right?
Yeah, they're not too big. It's just a little box and then a pole. You know, it has 3 strings, but they're made with animal skin leather or something, and so I guess if you take them up in the airplane, they'll rip and crack and everything. So
what is better about Japan than the United States?
Oh,
don't get them started.
Where can I start? The food, the people, the generosity. No, don't get me wrong, I love America, but I really do love America, but there's things about Japan, just how delicate everything is over there. It's just, I don't know, it's intriguing to me, you know. I don't know if there's any other word for it, but.
Never once shook a hand.
Never once shook a hand, yep, just bowed, kept bowing. Yeah, the song, I just made it all up. No, it's true, but, you know, it could happen.
We're pretty sure you went over there, though.
I went over there,
yeah. It's a good bet. Here. Listen a little bit more. So you were talking about your creative process there a little bit. Must have been substantially different for this record because you did it at the farmhouse.
Yeah.
And is that still, are you guys still west of town? Mm-hmm. Just outside of Lawrence? And I remember talking to you a ways back about it, and you were kind of maybe a little hesitant to go in and do it at home.
Yeah. I'd say we were really hesitant. I think we started recording them as demos to send into the label to see what they liked. I think we were going to record 16 songs or something like that and let them choose. And then we were hoping we could go into a studio around here, you know, a nicer one. And we just started recording them. And I don't know, I think we were pretty happy with what we came up with.
It really ended up working out. I think we were really glad that we did it there, you know.
The quality, you know, as you can hear, isn't the best, but... You know, it took
it took a lot more time to get the quality to where it is than it would have. You know, we could have just laid it down right away in a real studio, but we had to work at it forever just to get it to where it is. It
took us about a year.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this will endure as your process for a record down the road.
Yeah. We're already talking about just starting to record right now, the next one.
Mm-hmm. And now, don't get too techie on me, but you used what sort of process?
What was the XP4000 modulator?
The XJ900.
XJ900 modulator. And
frequency overdrive.
The overdrive.
No, we just used some software. Just anybody, you know. It's like we used a program called Sonar and some other Cakewalk products and SoundForge and some other
computer.
Stuff.
Nothing crashed on you?
Yeah, straight up computer.
Cool.
And his computer's, we use Simon's computer, and it's really old and really slow.
Do you guys understand all these things about compression and equalization?
No, it was funny, because when we sent it in, we sent it into the label, we thought it sounded perfect, you know? The other thing is we don't really have good monitors to listen to it back on. We just have, like, Radio Shack speakers. So we thought it sounded perfect. We got it to where it was perfect out at the farmhouse, but we sent it into the label, and they were like, man, the songs are awesome. But those mixes sound like crap. They said they were just horrible. They said they were the worst mixes they've ever heard. And so they had Chris Colbert, you know, the guy that produced and mixed our older albums. They had him mix this one for us, too.
So you do still have a label there who occasionally will throw you a couple $100 to get things done.
Yeah, they don't throw us too much cash. Actually, we're kind of in the hole with them. Cause
it's a touchy subject.
Yeah, we've gotten a bunch of CDs. They've sent us CDs in the past, you know, that we haven't paid for yet. And so we owe them quite a bit on that. And so recording this album, you know, was good for both sides because we did it for free for them. Basically, they had to pay a little bit for the mix to be done. But other than that, you know, recording costs was zero for them. So
all in all, are these, like, guys that you're, like, chummy with? They live in California. I mean,
we're not chummy with them, but
yeah, they're good guys. I mean, when we first went there to hang out with them and meet them and everything, it was great, you know. So,
I mean, they're obviously not huge, but they are helping you sell some records.
Yeah. And they're a lot bigger than, you know, other smaller labels that are real tiny that are just starting or whatever. But they're good guys. We've had rough times with them, you know, miscommunication and stuff, them being in California and us being here. And this being the first label that we've been on, and we don't know anything about law or anything like that, so.
There's about LAR?
LAR.
The LAR.
What's LAR?
How about law?
I've heard LAR. The LAR.
Law, like contracts, contractual.
Gotcha. Yes.
Agreements.
Understood.
Et cetera.
Understood. No. Do you guys want to talk about anything that I haven't brought up? I don't want to be the one in control here.
I don't know.
Simon has something I think he'd like to talk about. He's got a little problem.
I really don't.
Far be it for me to be the boss of this interview. Well, let's talk about Lawrence a little bit since you've been setting up shop here. No plans to move out anytime soon?
No. Sam might move to Japan in a couple of years.
Is that true?
Yeah, I want to really bad. And at first, Yuka, my wife, was half and half. You know, she's 50-50 where she wanted to live, the U.S. or Japan. But since then, her parents have moved to China, and her dad, like, supervises a factory over there or something. And she kind of, I think she's liking Kansas more and more or something, because a few days ago she talked about living in Kansas City, like trying to find a job as a teacher there and stuff. So we might stick around. I don't know.
I love it here. I love Lawrence. I've lived in several different cities, and this is the first time I've ever lived somewhere, you know, since I moved out of my parents' house, and I really just feel at home, you know. So I work over at Pachamama's, and everyone's really nice over there, and so I've got a great job. I live out in the farm still too, so great house, and just all makes sense here. So
cool. Yeah. Let's take another break to listen to music. Make sure we get adequate time to the album here. I thought it was off downhill from here on. I think I might just another thing I noticed while listening to this record is that Ken's drumming has really come along
a long way.
Yeah. You basically hired him before he really knew how to play.
He had drummed for 1 year, half a year maybe.
Yeah, it wasn't that long at all, yeah.
And Simon was kind of the same. I mean, Simon had been playing for a couple of years, But Ken was just not too good at the drums. He was really good for just playing for as long as he had. But like when we went to the studio to record the first album, he just fell apart, you know. And they had a guy there, Frank Lenz, and he just jumped in and played like every song basically for us. And I played a few of them. And I actually played a couple songs on this, on drums too. But Ken is just a thousand times better than he used to be. He's so good now.
It's cool. Is it, you know, sense of satisfaction to have come, you know, a great ways from when you started?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And Simon basically entered full-time how long ago?
Oh, I don't know, maybe like 2 years ago. I've been in the band, and I left for school and then got back in the band. I've been back in the band for like the last 2.5 years, probably 3 years.
How's Jared's Hotshot band doing?
Ooh.
They broke up. Jared's back in Topeka. And I think Jared met a girl up there, as we all do. And they want to get married and stuff. And so he came back to Topeka before that band broke up, I guess. I heard they're broken up. I haven't heard for sure.
Well, he left so he could be in this band that really had a shot at, University of Chicago.
They had a real good manager, and everything was going good. They were getting flown out to New York and L.A. for showcases and stuff. You know, they played.
They opened up for, like, Urge Overkill and, like, Garbage and all kinds of good bands.
They played South by Southwest, and they were a big hit there and everything, but.
So is he knocking on your door?
No, it was kind of mutual. When he came back, we thought about having him back in the band, you know?
Yeah.
But, he's super busy. He's trying to start earning money for getting married, and he's also going to school full time. So he's just really busy, and he wants to join the band again, but none of us are really sure how it would work out, him included. So
cool.
We'll see what happens.
So is there any touring going on for this record?
Nope.
No.
But
we are playing shows though.
Yeah. I mean, we'll play out as far, we'll play it like Texas or whatever up to Chicago, you know, around the Midwest. We probably won't go to New York or LA to play any shows, mainly because we're all just so busy, full-time jobs and full-time school and being married and stuff. But, you know, if something comes along.
Yeah, we'll do like a weekend tour, you know, maybe, whatever.
Okay. I think we're just about ready to close up, fellas.
Okay.
Appreciated your kind words. And do check out this record, people. It's a really good record.
CD release party.
CD release party.
September 30th.
September 30th.
Granada.
At the Granada.
$5.
$5.
All ages.
All ages. With?
With the girl's ghost.
And the Sister Maria.
And the Sister Maria.
Also from Topeka.
Also from Topeka.
Topeka Americana.
Just to clarify, you are from Lawrence now, but the origins go back to Topeka.
Our heart's still in Topeka.
You're way cool. Back.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. And I'm going to close out just by talking real quick about what's coming up this weekend in case people happen to hear this. I'll mention my picks, and you guys can tell me if you think I'm full of it, you know, or whatever. On Wednesday, we have Sufjan Stevens at The Bottleneck with Liz James. I know one of the Billions' favorite songwriters. He's got a great new album out called Illinois, and it should be really interesting to see how he pulls it off live. It's a $12 show, a little on the expensive side, but I would say probably worth the investment, hopefully. And that show starts at 9 p.m. on Thursday. It's a really big week. We have Franz Ferdinand at Liberty Hall, a show that was originally at the Uptown Theater in Kansas City, but moved to Liberty Hall with Pretty Girls Make Graves and Cut Copy. Definitely a little on the expensive side, $26. But if you like Franz Ferdinand, it should be a fun show. Friday, Gooding is at Fatso's. That's a 10 p.m. show, and I do not know how much, but he is a Kansas artist, Wichita currently, I believe, and with a great new CD out. Not going to say it's exactly up my alley, but it is very good, and it's worth a listen. Also, heads up, the For Your Ears Only sale. Sneak preview, 6 to 10 p.m. at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. For anyone not familiar, it's a real fun treasure hunting trip where you can go check out new stuff donated to Audio Reader, records, record players, vinyl, MP3 players, etc., etc. You can either pay $5 to get in early and get first pick on Friday from 6 to 10 p.m., or you can show up Saturday and get in for free. So, kind of a fun little garage sale type event. Saturday at the Bottleneck, Idlewild, and Nara George. That's a $7 show. Idlewild is from Scotland, and they do a pretty good British rock kind of thing. And moving on, best bet for Sunday, Grand Buffet and Super Argo at the Jackpot Saloon. It's $5. And anyone not familiar, Grand Buffet is a very, very entertaining hip-hop group, as well as Super Argo. So I'd like to thank my guests very much today for coming in, and hope to see you next week. This has been the Dog and Pony Show. I'm Richard, signing off. Take care. Jesus says, I'm going to stay strong. Stay strong.